You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 85, Electrical Storm Cloud.
So, you've been following what's been going on over at in Fremont, California this week at all? It's been a pretty exciting week for the city that I work in, especially if you work for Tesla Motor Companies, or you're the man that they based Iron Man off of, Elon Musk, is a murderer. And so
what's your boy Elon been up to?
So this is pretty exciting. They said they were going to do it, but they actually did it. Tesla's making a profit. Oh baby, they're in the black or the green, or I can never remember what color it's supposed to be.
It's the black.
That's
not
the black.
Red.
Yeah.
Black Friday.
Yes. Which just, you know, sounds macabre, but it's not. Yeah, so Tesla's turning a profit, which is a pretty big deal. It was predicted early, you know, predicted. Well, they came out during their earnings call. Their forecast for 2000 for this quarter was that they'd make money for the first time, which helped their stock go up a lot. And everybody was like, "Oh my goodness, it's awesome!" And they were railing on what's his name? He lost the election. Mitt Romney, and it's like, come on, man, he lost. You really have to like beat him when he's down. but you know, there's just been a lot of talk about like, you know, your really advanced space age, next drivetrain type systems, where like, well, they'll never make money. They only are able to sell because of huge government subsidies. And you're like, nope, Elon Musk is a genius. He's making all sorts of money now. So they can start paying back their crazy loans and stuff, because they do have they did leverage what they're doing to get them an awful lot of money, because Elon Musk is super rich, but he's not that super rich. So there's, you know, what's exciting about all this is now it's like, this is a turning point, and hopefully, and, you know, and they're looking that sales keep getting better. You know, they've got a huge wait list for these cars. They're not slowing down. One of the big reasons for that is because every time anybody evaluates these cars, they get great reviews.
That always helps with sales.
Consumer Reports did their automotive, you know, test thing, or mm-hmm. where their review, and the Tesla Model S was the top scoring car out of like all the cars, not just electric cars, not just super space age cars designed by Elon Musk, but all cars.
I really like their rear doors. I think those are awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're very cool. I like the fact that it's got trunk space in the front and in the back, because why not? It doesn't require a carburetor and internal combustion and all that crazy stuff. It's just a very, very cool. And what's nutty about it is it's like, there was a lot of companies out there that, you know, when, or the first electric cars, you know, people really liked them because they were electric cars. But that's all they were, is it's just like, they're basically go-karts with, they're not go-karts, but golf carts with like, you know, better range and, you know, a enclosed case. But you know, the drivetrain technology was it was a proof of concept. It was cool, and they just didn't have a very good range. And you know, then you've got like the, you know, then a lot of the companies out there said, well, there's already a lot of good drivetrain technology, a lot of good battery technology. I think the problem that we ran into was that, you know, these cars weren't cool enough. So competitors out there who aren't turning a profit yet, they've basically just like, you know, went out and prettied up the electric car a bit and turned around and aren't making any money, because people decided that what they really want is they want a car that can go as far as they need it to go. Mm. So, the brilliance of Tesla was that Elon Musk said, let's build the best battery-powered car out there, like from a drivetrain perspective. They did that, and then they made a ridiculously nice car to put on top of it. I know we've got listeners all over the country, probably all over the world. But if you guys like can find your way to check out Tesla Model S, they're freaking awesome. It's easy for me because I
literally. They look awesome.
Oh yeah, have you gotten to see one in Persona?
No, I have not.
Oh man, it's
have
worth
it. Have you test driven one yet?
I've really tried to, but because of crazy expensive, none of my friends. I can't do it alone. I can't bring myself to do like just like man up and do it alone. But I'm like, none of my friends will do it with me.
I'll do it with you.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. You're coming down here in a couple weeks. Oh man, let's do it. Let's put on some suits. Let's put on some ties and let's do it. Because they've got
to. Have to do. Do we got to look presentable?
Oh. Yeah, these are not cheap cars.
Are they going to do a credit check before they let us drive it? Because I know they'll do that with like Ferraris.
I don't think so. They're only $60,000 cars.
only $60,000.
I know. It might be $70,000, but they're not like they're not
that
Ferrari.
Car looks more expensive than my house.
I know, right? I want one so bad. Yeah, I don't think that they will, especially because right now they're in, like, this is such a PR campaign for them. It's crazy. We'll go to Santana Row. So for any of you who are familiar with the Bay Area, you probably know what that is. It's this little shopping center. It's, like, ridiculously nice. But they literally just, like, park the cars, like, in one of the parking lots. Like, they've got a showroom there, but they, like, just park the cars that you can take test drive because they want people to see them. They want people walking around. But, yeah. Like, they've got, like, girls, like, take pictures and, like, you know, like, I'm out partying and I'm taking a picture for the Tesla S. Let's put it on Facebook, you know, and it's, you know, because it's just cool. And, like, the people who they take on test rides, dude, you could not show up in a t-shirt. They would not take you on a test drive. You got to show up looking nice because these people look nice. They're, like, they look like they got money to spend and, you know. And because you need it to justify a car that can only go 250 miles every 4 hours.
I wasn't planning on bringing a suit, even though I was planning on, you know, bringing nice clothes. Like, but I was thinking polo.
You know what, though? We can just pull the California exec thing. Look, sunglasses, sandals, and a button up with a tie.
Okay, you know? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, this is great. I'm excited about this. So one of the interesting parts about this.
By the way, even if this doesn't pan out, 2 weeks afterwards, I'm actually headed to HP Discover. And so pretty much don't read any articles that week because I'm just going to talk for the 2 hours about what it is that I saw.
Nice, there. Okay.
It's like HP's trade show, essentially, where they bring in a whole bunch of companies and you discover a whole bunch of new technology, things that HP and others are working on. So,
yeah. It's funny. You tell me not to read any articles. And the week that I went to Cabo, I didn't read any articles because I was like, I'm taking the week off. Why would I read articles? I felt weird all week long. I was like, I kept reading and because I remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. I do the podcast because I would do the prep work, whether I did the podcast or not. This is like the last hour of the week that I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just do that part.
Yeah, well, it's funny. And I think you also, but what if I miss something big?
Exactly. That was like all week long. I was like, I can't, you know, what happens if something awesome happens? And like the worst part was like, I kept wanting to send you articles. Hey, you should talk about this.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to Tesla.
Yeah, so back to Tesla. So
all right, you, me, we're going to try to figure it out. Hopefully we can find it in the schedule to go do a test drive. Maybe we should do it on we should try to figure out how to do it on a day that – it's a shame I'm not there during the weekday, you know, because we could go work week in the morning when they're not busy type of thing. They're like, yeah, sure, what the heck, you know, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. So one of the this is actually one of the other big things that came up this week, is that so Tesla's got this like weird thing going on because they're this compared to the rest of the auto industry, they're this tiny little nothing of a car company. I mean, they're making they're making waves because it's this new drivetrain technology and they're making money and they're winning awards, but like they produce less, like, less than like 0.01% of the number of cars that are manufactured in a given year. They do no volume. They financially, their profit margin was basically non-existent before this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those, like, they're nothing compared to the rest. So the rest of the auto industry has this huge, huge infrastructure of how they sell cars and how they you know manufacture cars. And one of the big parts of this is the retail of cars, you know, all of your car shops, car stores, car, what are those called, dealerships. And dealerships is big business, man. There are a lot of people that make a ton of money and they don't and there are, in many states, there are laws that are specifically, you know, designed for how you do dealerships and how you retail cars.
Right.
Because they tend to favor the biggest players, the guys that are selling for the you know, your big auto companies, Toyota, GM, those types. And so what they really don't like is when some little ant comes along and starts showing that there might be a different way to do it. And Tesla doesn't really have a choice, because their argument is, we've got a drivetrain system that can compete and will compete with gas, but it's really kind of a specialty thing. We don't want to be on the same car lot as, a car lot full of Fords. We want to be in our own little world, you know, and it's the Apple syndrome. They, you know, Apple built the Apple stores because it allowed them to, you know, not compete against, stat for stat against Windows. You know, if you had a Mac right here, you know, on your left and a PC on your right, you'd be like, well, the PC is way more, they have bigger numbers of gigahertz and megahertz and megawatts and gigajoules and, you know, RAMs, and all of these numbers are bigger, but their price tag is lower. So why am I buying the Mac again? And, you know, and so Apple, you know, they differentiate, they, a lot of their success came from the Apple stores, being able to step away from the, you know, the other competition, get you out on your own, so you can't necessarily compare stat for stat, and you actually get to experience the, oh, this is why I would go with Mac, because the overall experience is better. And even within, you know, retail stores like Best Buy, they have their own little, like, table with like, it's completely out of place in the rest of, you know, from a design, like, you know, the perspective of the store, it's completely out of place, because they want you to feel kind of like you're a little bit teleported into an Apple store. That's what Tesla's doing, because they don't want to compete with internal combustion engines. Because if you compare vital stats, how far can it go on a charge? How long does it take to charge? How much does it cost? It's a terrible deal. But that's not why you buy them. And that's
right. They're trying to move away from the stats conversation and, you know, just talk more about the system and the benefits and those things that are important and the reason why you would buy an electric car.
Exactly. And so the struggle there is that they're not a giant multinational corporation like Apple was when they started the retail stores. Even though Apple was very small compared to what it is now, it was still, you know, big enough to start retail stores all over the country. And it's been slow. I mean, it's been like 10, 13 years or whatever it's been. And they're just start, you know, man, they're still huge areas that don't have Apple stores even close to them. And Tesla's basic argument is, we don't have enough money to put a dealership in every state, much less every, you know, auto mall parkway across America to have our own little place where you can go to check out these cars. So basically what they're doing is they're like driving around, they're going into malls and they're like driving a car into a malls as like a showroom for like one car. And then they're letting you buy them online, which is pretty clever.
That works.
So basically all the retail that they're doing, I think you can buy them in the retail store, but I think they just like put you online, like, oh, here's an iPad, so you can go to the website and sign up. And turns out that's really upsetting to the rest of the dealers, because what it allows you to do is if you live in, I don't know, North Carolina, it allows you to
random state.
just one, throwing that out there. It allows you to, theoretically, to go online and check, well, maybe Ohio has a cheaper Ford, theoretically. So North Carolina, I don't know, hypothetically, might start legislation that would prevent you from being able to purchase cars online, which is kind of ridiculous. But, you know, hypothetically, if this were to happen in North Carolina, it would protect the dealers
out there.
Yeah, it would protect the dealers that are already there, because you really wouldn't be able to buy from anybody except their little own, you know, the territory that you live in, unless you were to drive somewhere else. And so that's exactly what North Carolina is doing. They don't like that. They don't like what Tesla's doing. And so Tesla's starting to already run into some hurdles on being able to, you know, sell cars. And what's ridiculous about it is they don't have any dealerships or anything in North Carolina. So they literally wouldn't be able to sell cars in North Carolina if this bill passes, which, you know, land of the free. Psh, but, you know, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. It's like Tesla, like, you know, just really leveraging all these, like, super modern technologies and pushing industries forward. And, you know, you always hear, like, the drumbeat of it's the oil guys, the oil companies are going to be the one they killed the electric car. And you just realize that, man, when you disrupt an industry, people get upset. They do not like it. and so I think it's going to be really interesting and fun to watch over the course of the next, 50 years, really, as this transition happens, because, you know, the disruption is beginning. And now that they're making money, it seems to really point in the direction that this perhaps is a legitimate, you know, this is the beginning of the swelling of the wave as it's like heading towards shore, and it's already meeting some fierce resistance from people that I don't think anybody are like, oh yeah, that's right, this will affect them too. So I'm really curious to watch this over the next years, to see who else like tries to throw up a roadblock that you don't even think about. It just is like all of a sudden, I guess it's setting in for me that, man, they really are going against a Goliath of an industry that's very entrenched. They have a lot of friends in all over the place, financial and, you know, legislative, and they're going to do what they can to protect their little fiefdoms. Oh, it's interesting. It's exciting. But if anybody can do it, Iron Man can. I saw him take out entire armies all on his own before.
It works. So I went online and I'm ordering a Tesla right now.
So you've been awfully silent. I was wondering what you were doing.
And it will only cost me $579 a month for their cheapest version.
Whoa, that's not bad. Except the cheapest version only goes like 120 miles.
No, this one's 209.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
Nice. How much does the one that you would, you know, the 64 gig one cost, as it were?
Let's see here. Change in car model will cause you to lose your current design. Yeah, sure, do it. Let's see. This is the Model S design, which is the performance, I suppose. I would probably want to get the all glass roof. And the carbon fiber spoiler. I can go 265 miles. I need the performance plus. Oh, I gotta change up my wheels. Let's see here. Wheels to the 21 inchers. Interior, I think beige with. Carbon fiber decor is fine with me. All right, let's see here. I want the Performance Plus package. give me the tech package. The Sound Studio package. I got my Active Air suspension. Rear-facing seats, dumb. Partial shelf, dumb. Paint armor, dumb. Let's see. Ooh, a high-powered wall charger and twin chargers. Add that, please. Okay. That one will only cost me, let's see, $1,345 per month.
Dude, I could totally afford that. Especially if I continue to live at home.
You would probably have to live in the car.
Yeah, honestly.
To justify that one.
I wonder how much insurance on those sorts of things are. On those things.
Yeah, I guess that's not included, is it?
Yeah. That is part of your monthly nut. It's probably ridiculously expensive.
Probably. I mean, you're not going to get the minimum.
Right, yeah.
True cost of ownership. Let's see here. You'd have to do 3% down. So the total cost of it, ooh, which you can get through Wells Fargo for the loan. What was the total cost? I saw that earlier. $107,000.
Wow. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, but think about all the money you save on gas, though. You know.
But like, you get $1,000 tax incentive in California. Nice.
Not that takes Oregon. Off literally a hundredth of less than a hundredth of the price. Just a little bit less, but a less.
They could tell you if you drive 15,000 miles a year, you'd save $261 per month on gas.
How much?
$261.
Well, then, I mean, that basically justifies it.
You guaranteed resale value. What is that? If you do your financing with Tesla, we guarantee that the Model S will have the top residual value of any high volume premium sedan brand after 3 years of ownership. This means you'll receive cash back in 3 years that exceeds the principal remaining on your loan, spread over 36 years. Means your effective monthly payment is lower by this amount. What? That sounds like finance magic to me.
Yeah, I don't get that.
If you're driving it for business, you can deduct the depreciation and interest expense and the operating expense.
Oh, I'll be driving it for business.
There you go. And shorten your commute. Most states allow EVs to drive in the carpool lane, which saves a significant amount of time in rush hour traffic.
Nice.
And you avoid the gas stations. This is funny. And so it asks, how many monthly gas stops do you do? How long does it take you to fill up? And what's your time worth? They'll help you calculate your... Oh, interesting. So the way that they've... The game that they play, so that effective monthly cost, the 13...
What? Hey, this is a clean podcast, James.
What did I say?
Oh. Doesn't matter.
Okay. So your effective monthly cost, that thing that they're calculating, your actual like finance cost is $1,400 plus you got $200 for other stuff. And then they start subtracting. So they it's interesting. So that, you know how I was talking about that gas savings? That's built into that 1,300 number. Tricky.
Well then.
Still looks cool. Still looks like an awesome car.
Yeah. So there's another piece of this puzzle that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. So, that guy, Tony, was chatting in an interview, and I guess he's known for just talking pretty honestly and frankly with what's going on.
Yeah.
Just always makes for fun stuff. But they were asking him about driverless cars, and it was funny. He was like, well, he goes, first of all, I don't like the word self-driving, or that phrase. He goes, I like to think of it more like autopilot in an airplane.
Right.
And he's like, because that just sounds a little bit more friendly to me. To which I'm like, Google, take a note. This guy is pretty smart. He's insane. I know you guys are smart too, but let's be honest. You guys are a bunch of geeks. and don't know how to name things and properly communicate things to regular people.
Yeah.
This guy's figured it out. If he's calling it autopilot, you should probably change what you're calling it.
Right.
And then essentially what he said was he has talked with them, and Google was actually an investor in Tesla when it first started, or both Larry Page and Sergey Brin are. Sorry, not Google, but those two specific guys are. So he's like, so he knows them and he talks to them. And he was saying that he is very interested in doing an autopilot type, adding an autopilot feature to his vehicles. And he said that right now, unfortunately, Google's approach is very expensive to do it because of the technology type that they're using, which is like infrared and other stuff.
The LARP?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the LARP. It's the LIDAR, the laser radar. Go on.
Yeah, LARP is something totally different. And so anyway, so he was like, oh, I'm interested in doing something with them. He's like, I'm not announcing anything right now at all. But anyways, that would be cool. And again, his goal is that in the next few years is to have a car that's like in the $30,000 range.
Right.
Which would be cool. And so he's like, you know, obviously including the autopilot ability, he goes, we'll push the price up a bit. And so he's kind of got an eye on the price for the market because he would really like to, you know, hit the mass market price-wise.
Right.
But anyways, it was just kind of cool. He was like, yeah, I would love to work with these guys. It's an open invitation. And he goes, at the end of the day, they are working on their own thing, and they may or may not use Google's technology, which I'm kind of – this makes me wonder. Like, Google's working on all this stuff and pushing this technology forward.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious as to how are they actually going to take this thing to market?
Right.
And maybe they don't care right now. They're just like, we'll figure that out once we have something to take to market.
I think
I'm just
going to
be concerned that they're going to alienate all the different auto manufacturers, and the ones like this who want to work with them are like, dude, you guys, you need to figure out your cost here because this isn't going to work for me.
What I thought was really interesting about it was that his complaint was that it's basically the eye, you know, that fundamentally. You know, whenever you have a robot, there's a couple of different theories of you want feedback. You want it to be able to see the world around it and see what it's interacting with. And the more data that you can get in, the more the better response you're going to have from your computer. But it also requires more processing and better technology. So there's always these balances, right? And when you're automating anything, and basically what his argument was is that their eye is really, really effective, but it's crazy expensive. And what he said was, I'm pretty sure we could do the exact same thing, but with a camera, that's taking pictures as opposed to and specifically what's different is Google's technology shoots light out and gets it, measures the distance, and it gets reflected back. What Elon Musk is proposing is, I want a camera that is passive. It doesn't actively shoot out light and get it back as a laser. What it does is it just takes all the light that's coming in, processes that image, and then you withdraw information about your world from that. And that can be done very cheaply, comparatively. But once you have the data, once you are aware of your world, Google's current system and what Elon Musk is proposing would effectively use that data the exact same way, which that is the real magic of what Google's doing. That's where every year they make huge leaps and bounds in doing, you know, all of that signal processing with better equipment and a smaller package that uses less energy, you know, and I think as far as Google's concerned is they just tacked down, let's get a good light source and the LIDAR, the laser radar thing, it was actually, they picked that technology because the guys that won the DARPA competition from like 5 years ago, the automated car. That was the technology they were using. It was just one of those things where they went, let's start there because that seems like a good idea. It seems to be working. And so that's where that came from. And so the idea that somebody else would come along later and say, you know, there's something better or there's a cheaper way to do it isn't surprising. And I think Google is fully on board with the idea that, yeah, that's just one extra step that we can do relatively quickly where we'll do that signal processing to get the same data. We'll do that conversion and we'll just add it on as an extra step later on. And because we have super powerful computers, we can do it really quickly. And really effectively. And so it's, okay. I think what you'll see is a convergence of technologies. Once Google is very confident that their cars are smart enough to do everything that they need to do well, and they've kind of figured out how to drive through a virtual world that they're processing. And that's Elon Musk, I think what he's setting the foundation for, and I'm sure what they're all waiting for is for Google to sit there and say, yeah, we can set these things on the loose and we feel confident that we're not going to invite crazy lawsuits when the first accident happens. And you know, once you get to that point, then it's just going to be open season for what's the best way to process your world. And that's where you're going to find some significant cost savings in the first few years of production. But there's still so much legislative stuff that has to happen along the lines and along the way that I get the feeling that, you know, you're talking, I still think it's, you know, too long before you start to see this in the market, but no.
Well, I liked his comment. So he's created an autopilot for cars at Tesla is important, but not yet a top priority because it's still a few years from production.
Right.
Okay. A few years doesn't sound too bad.
Right.
You know, he didn't say it's a few decades.
Yeah, that's good news. And I think Elon is you know, well, you know, the thing is that it's like if you drive a Prius, the best gas mileage you'll ever get is if you put it on the, or any hybrid in general, is if you put it into cruise control. Because, you know, now the computer and the motors take over and they know what they're trying to do and they've optimized that algorithm to give you the best performance. So it's one of those things where if you can turn it on to autopilot, I'll bet they could squeeze another 50 miles out of that battery, which is really worthwhile. You know, if you can pop it from 250 all the way up to, you know, or 300 all the way up to 350, you know, on a charge, you know, that would be huge. And you could theoretically do stuff like that when the car is driving itself because it's way more efficient when it is, you know, all on its own than when you're pressing the acceleration pedal and wobbling it all over the place. You know, your foot's not very good at that algorithm.
Right.
But, it's interesting. It's exciting. I love it.